I have God's people on my heart.
Amen.
I have Hilltop Church on my heart. And I just want us to do better. I want me to do better. And I want us as a church to do better. Laborers are few.
Yes.
Y'all pray for us today. We're going to, everything we bring out today will probably be very familiar. So it ain't going to be nothing new or nothing that's going to just jump out and say, boy, I've never heard that before. But we just keep doing this. I've mentioned this two or three times since we had the baptizing. Here after a while, we'll have a handshake, if the Lord be willing. We've got one or two here. We still hadn't extended right hand of fellowship too, a church fellowship too, and we'll try to take care of that. But I mentioned that day before we had that baptizing, I preached on baptizing, and I talked about the things we say at the baptism, and then I preached on those things and backed them up with the Bible, the reason we do that. But when we got down there to baptize, and we ended up having 9 to baptize, and after about 5 of them, you think, going in your head, you think, well, I need to say something a little different. But you don't. You just keep doing the same thing over and over. So if you've heard this before, guess what? You're going to hear it again. And then probably after today, you sometime or another, you're going to hear it again. Because we just keep doing the same things over and over. Sometimes we bring them out in a little different way that you've never heard, but we don't ever do nothing new. If we do something new, then we've messed up. All right, Luke chapter 9. And it came to pass in the 57th verse, Luke chapter 9, 57. And it came to pass that they went away, and a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. And as he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. And I want you to know that Jesus was not being disrespectful to the one that said, let me go bury my father. I don't believe the man's father had died yet. I believe his father was sick. But he said, let the dead bury the dead. But he said, come and follow me. You got a work to do. And I believe especially if you've been called to preach, and normally that's what we use these for, but my heart's desire today is for all of us to get something out of this. As a pastor, I want to say this before we go in. These are pretty good excuses. They really are. I mean, if Josh called me up and said, Brother Jeff, my daddy, Marty, Brother Marty is really sick, and I need to be with him today, and he's sick unto death, and it looks like he's fixing to die. I would say, yes, son, you go on and be with him. That's a good excuse to me. And the other was a good excuse. There are some good excuses, but I've never had a good enough excuse yet to try to get out of doing my job for the Lord. And you might find a good excuse for me, and I may even agree with you. But listen, when it comes to the Lord and the work he's called you out to do, it's a different story. He expects you to do that. If he saved you by his grace and if you have come apart of his church, you've got a work to do. The Bible says, fail not to assemble yourself together. I want you to know, we're going to get over and read our text here in a minute, but the laborers truly are few. There's a few in every church. There's a few. Unless I know something serious has happened, I'm not going to hear from them on Sunday morning saying they're not going to be there. Unless there's something really serious going on, then I will hear from them. But I want you to know, when I get there, I expect they're just like me. They're going to be there. They're few labors. If this hurts your feelings today, then it's just going to have to hurt. But listen to me. We need a few more to labor with us. We need to have a few more to be pillars. We need to have a few more that we're going to expect to be at the house of God. There's all kinds of excuses not to come. I want you to know, sometimes as I mentioned, some of them are good, but most of us are hanging on to the things of the world rather than hanging on to God. That's all it is to it. I want you to realize today, Sister Joanne hobbles in here every Sunday with a walker. And I don't mean to bring her out and make her special than anybody else, but she does it Sunday after Sunday, and I know she don't feel like it. I want you to realize, I've seen people, I've come on Sundays when I didn't feel like coming. I want you to realize, you're going to have stomach aches. You're going to have headaches. You're not going to feel good. That's going to come on. If you're really sick, running a fever, got something that you don't need to pass to somebody else, yeah, stay at home, sit in your car, whatever you need to do, that's just fine. But I want you to know the devil's got all kinds of excuses for you to stay out of church. And I hear every one of them. I want you to know, I send out the text of shame every week. I tell them, I say, the text of shame has reached your house this week. What was going on with you? I'm worried about you. And there's always a good excuse coming right after that. There's always some good reason for us to lay out of church. But I want you to know, come in the morning, somehow or another, they always find the health to get back to work. And I'll guarantee you, Saturday night, they had health to get to a ball game. They had health to get some kind of function somewhere else. And some of them had health right now to be a fishing somewhere. Their excuses a lot of times is fibs. Oh, that really hurt, didn't it? Lied to the preacher. Oh, boy. Oh, yeah, that happens. You can lie to the preacher all you want to, but you can't lie to him. The problem is we're in love with the world. You know what's happened so much? You go up the road right now and you'll see signs everywhere of trunk and treat. And I wasn't going to get in all this, but I can't help it. How we've got where now, and because the people, our congregations are so in love with the world, we're trying to bring the world into the church to get them to come. I want you to know that won't work. This is to be a house of prayer. Jesus went in to overturn the tables over the very kind of mess that we're promoting today. If only way we can get them to come is to bring the world into church to get them to come, then we missed the mark. That what should bring them here is the love of God, the love of their brothers and sisters, the love of the lost and dying world. We should have a heart's desire to labor. Once you grab a hold of the plow and you look back, you're not worthy of the kingdom. So we're trying to hold on to the world and serve God, and it won't work. A man cannot serve God and serve man at the same time. You'll love one more than you will the other. You'll grab a hold of one. And I want you to know it's easy to grab a hold of the world. All you got to do is miss church two or three Sundays, and you can have a good excuse to miss. You can really be sick, but the next thing you know, the old devil will say, you ain't been in a while. You'll get to enjoy it. I'm getting up and going. Next thing you know, you won't go back. We've got several in that boat right now that I say every week I'm texting and calling and trying my very best to get them to come back and help us, because we need you. And I want you to know you need the church.
You may not think you do, but you do. You need the Lord's church. Over here we'll get their text. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to the disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. I pray ye therefore for the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. That's in Matthew 9, 36 through 38. Hey, I want you to realize, I want you to know the world is the field that we're trying to harvest. We're trying our best to get this gospel out. And it is wide to be harvest, but the laborers truly are few. There's only a few in all of our old churches that you can depend on showing up Sunday from Sunday. Are you that few? If you're not, I pray today that we'll say something that might make you realize. Honey, I want you to realize today, a lot of us, I've been that way, I know. You can say, well, Miss Marty Pants, you used to miss church yourself. Amen. I want you to know, and I'd do it again today if I wasn't careful. If I missed a Sunday or two, I'd be just like that again. I mentioned last Sunday, I could smoke a cigarette today. I'd have to go buy a carton tomorrow. Honey, you get hooked on it. You get addicted to it. I'm addicted to cigarettes. I smoke one. I promise you I'd smoke two packs tomorrow. You go out in the world just a little while, get just a little taste of it again, and guess what? You're hooked. We've got men and women today. The day ain't here because they're hooked on the world and they can't let go of it. I want you to know you need to let go. Yeah, the laborers are just few. I'm not interested in changing to get people to come to church. I'm not interested in bringing ball games in and having a Super Bowl party or cornhole or anything else like that at the house of God. Amen. To get people to come. What I am interested in is preaching the truth. And if the truth won't win them over, then honey, it ain't nothing going to win them over far spiritually goes. The world ain't going to help us none. It's never done me no good. I want you to know, after I was saved, I tried everything. I had to fill voids in my life, and I want you to know none of it never did work. I'd go buy this, that. If you ever do that, or some of you people that are like me, I'm always trying to find something to fill up something. And now I want you to realize I've learned through the years the only thing that fills up them voids in me is God. When I let him take up any empty spot, if there's any empty spot comes to me, if I let him fill that up, I'll be satisfied. Amen. Laborers are few. Amen. Wouldn't it be great? I don't know how many we got on our row. I wouldn't doubt if it ain't 300. It might be 350. Wouldn't it be great if you could depend on them to show up every Sunday? Wouldn't that be good? Wouldn't it be good to know that when we come together, it wasn't going to be like this morning, just everybody sort of, just don't look like much going to happen today. If we all, you had a house full come expecting things like it was back during our youth revival, and it just blows up. He can do that every Sunday. That don't just have to happen during the revival. But we've got to have a desire to work for God. We've got to have a desire to show up. And I'm going to tell you right now, next Sunday morning, I promise you, you're here today. There's going to be a reason for you to be able to stay at home. It is. The devil will get, by Saturday night, he'll done have it working. And you'll be thinking, We have been to church the last two Sundays. And that's the way it is. Let's just all be honest here. We've got some that plan on coming about once a month. Some that's going to come every other Sunday. Some when they need the church or need the Lord. I'm being honest. That's the way it is. When it gets to the point something's going on in their life, they need the Lord, then they decide that now that this Sunday will be a good time for me to show up at church. You know, my child's lost. My mother's got cancer. This is going on in her life. This is the time. Listen, that's not the only time to show up at church. Amen. The time to show up is, listen, there's somebody among us always got something going on. Yes. I need your prayers. I've got lost grandchildren. We all need each other. What if, I said this before, what if I called y'all every Sunday morning? How many times do I come up with an excuse that I can't come to church? Am I not a man? Do I not have a heart that beats, a head that hurts, a stomach that gets diarrhea? Do I not have these things? Do I not vomit from time to time? Do I not every once in a while just not feel like coming? Listen, how many times, Brother Bill, have I called you on Sunday morning? Said, well, I just can't be here today. How many? If ever a member of this church asked yourself this, they used to have this down Spring Creek and on their wall, if ever a member of this church was just like me, what kind of church would this church be? We've been in vacation season now for, I thought it was going to be a week, fall break. It's turned into a month. I reckon God's given us so much now. We got so much money and stuff. We can take vacations anytime we get ready. It's a darting herd, ain't it? Huh? Word of God hurts. We got 2 months of pastor election. Maybe you'll forget this before then. We know something be better. Maybe you won't.
Amen.
Maybe when you get ready to vote, maybe you can think about it. Yep. Maybe you will love God enough and love this church enough and somebody to stand up and tell you the truth enough to raise your hand and vote. Jesus said, they're not of this world. He said, I've overcome the world. We're not supposed to be of the world. I want you to know what your excuses should be. Your excuses should be to leave everything else alone and go to the house of God. When you make an excuse, it should be, I can't come to this family function. That's on Sunday, and you know better to set it there then. I go to church on Sunday. That's where excuses should be. When our friends say, let's go to the lake on Sunday. I can't go to the lake on Sunday. That's when I serve God. That's His day. My excuse is go to church, not go to the lake. My excuse is go to church. And then we wonder why we don't have no power. We wonder why our children ain't getting saved. Only time we serve Him when it's convenient to us. You can put this on the internet if you want to. I got a feeling there's more could stand to hear it besides just us. Philippians 2:21 said, for they all seek their own. Philippians 2:21, for they all seek their own, not the things which are of Jesus Christ. How many of us are seeking our own? our own pleasures, our own profit. Can't come to church this Sunday. I got to work. Sometimes you have to. That's just the way it is. Some people have doctor's jobs. Some's got nurses' jobs. Some have police officers' jobs. Some of you are linemen. And there's been times that you just have to go out and you have to work. Sometimes that's just the way it is. But you know something else? I had a friend one time, I hope he gets here too. He was in the mowing business, and he called me one Sunday evening, and he said, can you come help me out? I've got a yard or two here that I didn't get to during the week. And he said, can you come and help me out, and we'll get them mowed this evening right quick. And my ox is in the ditch. That's what he said. You know, he knew I was a preacher. It's been years ago. And I said, well, sure. And I went and helped him. His ox was in the ditch. My neighbor asked me to help him. I wouldn't help him. Couple Sundays later, on a Sunday, and he called. He said, guess what? My ox is in the ditch. And I said, guess what? I got church tonight. Amen. I ain't coming. Quit putting your ox in the ditch. Hey, if you got more yards than mow, tell some of them you can't mow them. Because sometimes we put our ox in the ditch. We take on more than we can do knowing that we're going to have to work on Sunday. And I want you to know that all that is excuse then. It's no longer the ox's God in the ditch. You've let it off in there. So we set our affections. We're going to go read that here in a minute. On things that are of the earth. Not of the things that are above. If we truly, truly was worried about the Lord's work and his church and lost people. We wouldn't miss too many Sundays. I'm just being honest. And you say, well, you throwed yourself up there to be something special. Hey, we pay you to be here. You think that's why I'm here? If you do, then vote me out. I'm here because I love you. I'm here because I love the Lord. I'm here because he saved my soul. He called me to preach it. He put me in his church. He showed me he loved me. And I'm trying my best to show him I love him. Amen. I'm trying to give him my life. I'm trying to take up my cross and follow him. My daddy laid down under. He had a heart attack. The doctors told us he was going to die. He was not going to live. That was on a Saturday night. You know where I was on Sunday morning. And some of you fussed at me about it. Told me you ought to be with your daddy. You ought to be down. I couldn't help my daddy down there. I want you to know I could have hurt him by not doing my job. I didn't watch the sister die because I wouldn't do my job. I wasn't going to watch another one. You say, well, you're a preacher. It's different for you. Is it? Every one of us has got a job to do. If you've been saved by God's grace, he's got something for you to do. If it's just to come here every Sunday and fill a pew and pray, bring your children and pray for them. Bring your grandchildren and pray for them. If that's all you say, well, your kids are not here. Amen, they're not. I hope they hear this. I want them to be here. This COVID has made more excuses than anything I've ever seen in my life. My children were coming to church. COVID comes around now. They're going out in the world. They're addicted to it. They're hooked on it. And the truth is, I am too. And so are you. All I'd have to do is miss a Sunday or two. And I'd buy a carton. I'd be out for 6 months. That's all it takes. I'm trying to help you today. If you'll listen to me, we need you. The labor's a few. When I was a boy, I'd work in the banker. Well, I'd go out there, be chopping out banker, topping banker. My sister's laying in the backyard in her bathing suits getting a tan. And I think, what in the world?
You're talking about the labor's a few. You out there chopping through an acre, 2 acres, 3 acres, 5 acres of banker by yourself. And you're thinking, what in the world's going on here? Sometimes I feel like I'm still chopping back around by myself. And it shouldn't be that way. You come and pour your heart out Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. You do good to get an amen. Listen to me. The labor's a few. We need to work together. We need to have a house full. And it starts with you. It starts with me.
You say, well, what can I do about it, Brother Jeff? I'm here every Sunday. What can I do to help in this matter? Why don't you start reaching out to some of them, amen, your brothers and sisters, and try and encourage them to come back? Why don't you take and send them this message? Not because I'm preaching it, because they need to hear it. I need to hear it. You need to hear it. Next Sunday, it'll be your chance to have an excuse. I promise you, somebody's here today. And you say, it ain't going to happen, preacher. Not after this sermon. It ain't going to happen. Somebody here today, next Sunday, they might not text me now because they will be ashamed to do that. But somebody next Sunday morning will get up and say, I've been 2 Sundays in a row. I can't go every Sunday. I don't know what that preacher's thinking. And I have got just a little headache. Do you feel good today? No, I don't feel good neither. Let's just stay at home. And then by dinner, you're out eating somewhere. Well, you know we should have went on to church. I know it, but it'll be all right. We'll go next Sunday. And if you ain't careful, then the next Sunday. The Titans are playing today, and it's a big game. Next thing you know, we'll just stay home, we'll watch the ball game, and we'll go Sunday night. And Sunday night rolled around. I don't care much for that preacher. He ain't my favorite. Is he yours? No, he really ain't. Let's just stay home, and we'll go next Sunday. And then next Sunday, you don't even talk about it. The next Sunday, you get up, you don't even think about church. And you're hooked. He's got you and he's reeling you in. He's good at his job. Mm-hmm. I'm fixing to be done. And y'all saying amen. You don't know how much you fixing to be done. Colossians 3:2. Set your affections on of things above, amen, and not on the things on the earth. Amen. What do you care about? Is your affections on God? Margaret come in this morning. She was done nailing me and Larry out there talking about the football game. She got us a couple Sundays ago, wore us out, and you'd think me and him would have done learned to left that at home and talked about it last night and then left it. But no, me and him was out there talking the football game. Here comes Margaret up. She said, I ain't saying nothing. I ain't going to be brought out again. You shouldn't have said that. There we was, right in the middle of it. Boy, they good this year, ain't they? Man alive, are they good. Ain't that where our affections are? In football, our affections in our jobs, our affections in that new house that we're wanting, that new car that we're wanting, our affections in the lake, it's in that next big vacation that we got planned. Our affections is in everything but being a laborer for the Lord. Truly, the labors are few.
So we got one of two choices. We can let go of the world and serve God. We can serve the world and forget about God. Or you got the other choice. We can just bring the world into the church. There's only one of them that's going to be pleasing to God. It's going to be hard for us to completely let go of the world. Quitting smoking's hard. Anybody here beside me ever quit smoking? Was that easy? Is anybody here besides me ever went on a diet? Is that easy? Some of us have had addictions to a lot of different things, and it's hard to quit them. For me, when I quit something, I just have to let go and just quit. Sweets, I love them. I told Sister Billy Ruth, I ain't been throwing you on the bus. I told her I loved her pecan pie. She brought me a piece last Sunday, had my name on it. It had it on it more one way, too, I tell you that. I ate that piece of pie, and there was things went to work in my brain, just went, you love pecan pie. And then yesterday, we went to some kind of function, and Sheila got a piece of pecan pie. And I said, what are you doing? She said, you want a bite? And I said, yeah, I do. She still got up and I'm like, huh? You dabble in it. Go out there and dabble in it just a little bit. After you've been out there and you've enjoyed it and all the things it seems to have to offer, dabble in it just a little bit and see if you won't want another piece tomorrow. Set your affections on things that are above. We need one another. So yeah, this is my job. Unless something's really bad wrong with me next Sunday, I'll be here. You'll say, well, what if something really bad, if something really bad happens, I won't. I could be dead next Sunday. I could be with the Lord. I could be definitely sick laying in the hospital somewhere. But I tell you one thing, I hope I'm not. I hope I'm not home making an excuse not to come to the house of God. I don't go no more because I just don't like that brother or sister. I don't care much for the preacher. I don't care much about the way he preaches. Well, if I'm the reason keeping you from coming to church, you've got a problem. You should come to church to serve the Lord, not to serve me. If one of these brothers or sisters is keeping you from coming to church, you still got a problem. Amen. You should come to church to serve the Lord, amen, not them. So what's been your excuse for not coming to church? What's going to be your excuse next Sunday for not coming to church? The laborers will continue being a few. That's my thought. Y'all take and do with it what you want to. I take and pray. You know what I pray? I pray that we'll apply it to our lives. That we'll get to the point that we won't show up to church. We won't serve the Lord. And we'll quit making excuses not to serve Him. Take up the cross and follow after Him. Go ahead with your song, brother.